I'm somewhat unscrupulously seizing upon this Beatles song to open today's programme, which is a selection of some unexpected comings together on two recent CDs. Unscrupulous because back in 1969, John Lennon wrote Come Together with staunch political intent to support Timothy Leary's campaign for the Californian governorship, a post which was won by Ronald Reagan on his way to the presidency. Musical comings together that might be as straightforward as Sheryl Crow's new album Threads, which is essentially built around a series of duets with friends. Crow was doing the press circuit earlier this year. She talked to The Guardian about some of the hard times she'd endured, including a few years as a backing singer for Michael Jackson. On the other hand, with NPR, she spoke more positively about this new album. Sheryl Crow loves the tradition of actually making records, bringing back for her the dreams that these artifacts inspired in her younger days. But at the same time, she admits that the CD is a dying art form, something for people to cherry-pick songs from and then put them on their MP3 playlists. Perhaps this is why she's given us folks a choice of 17 tracks on this new disc, with a generous running time of 75 minutes. Inevitably, Sheryl Crow does some cherry-picking herself during interviews to talk about working with particular artists. Any comments about Keith Richards, who partners her in the Rolling Stones song The Worst, are pretty generalised, however, despite Richards turning up with Stevie Nicks, George Harrison and Bob Dylan as four of her personal heroes, runners-up to only Mahatma Gandhi. Crow and Richards in tandem is a pretty low-key affair, alongside the Stones' 1994 original off their Voodoo Lounge album, which benefited from the musical pouting of Mick Jagger and some folky fiddle from Frankie Gavin. Crow and Richards keep the unexpected chord shifts, although they don't have the same sense of shivery surprise this time around. And Richards is, once again, relegated to adding simpatico backup.
Well, I said from the first, I am the worst kind of girl for you to be around.
Many of the tracks on Sheryl Crow's Threads album come with built-in memories. That one took her back to her school teaching days in St. Louis when she experienced Richards live with Chuck Berry at a taping session for the documentary Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. Another song, Livewire, a Crow original that sure lives up to its name, sees her with two women who figured prominently in her teenage and earlier years, Bonnie Raitt and Mavis Staples. There's an amusing video clip in which they do a little bit of rehearsing with some spieling on the side. Crow's absolute adoration of her two colleagues is palpable, and on disc they give all they've got to telling their tales, spiced up with licks of Bonnie Raitt's signature slide guitar.
Well, I got me a lover as stubborn as a weed, match on the day he met me. Even when I paddle my boat upshore,
hold on tight.
I got a lie.
Start to blow me off my feet again.
I got a live wire. I got a live wire. Some people just built that way. Never looking back at the mess they make. I got a live wire. I got a live
wire.
Never knowing what the cat is begging, but this bird's getting out of its cage.
Crashing on me like a runaway train.
My love for you is a house on fire.
Well, I'm burning up with a strange desire.
Livewire turned out to be the second single from Sheryl Crow's new Threads album. The first was her duet with the late Johnny Cash, singing her own Redemption Day, which first appeared delivered by her 23 years ago.
I've wept for those who suffer long, but how I weep for those who've gone.
Johnny Cash heard the recording at the time, put down his own version just before his death in 2003, which eventually appeared posthumously 7 years after this on the sixth of his American recording CDs, titled rather grimly, Ain't No Grave, placed in an atmospheric setting of which Cash was an unrivaled master.
I've wept for those who suffer long, but how I weep for those who've gone. In rooms of grief and question wrong, but keep on killing. It's in the soul to feel such things, but weak to watch without speaking. Oh, what mercy sadness brings, if God be willing. There is a train.
Keep the sepulchral piano chime in your head if you can, as it's very much part of the 2019 coming together. It's the first sound that you hear before admiration takes over for the skill with which Crow's re-recorded vocals have been ingeniously patched into those of the late Cash. Other felicitous touches also stand out. Lovely moments of Copeland-esque plein air piano, high and clear, with one recurring chord pricked by a piquant dissonance. And above all, the dialogue of sorts from both sides of the grave, as it were, when both singers, call out for freedom.
I've wept for those who suffer long, but how I weep for those who've gone into rooms of grief and questioned wrong. Keep on killing. It's in the soul to feel such things, but weak to watch without speaking. Oh, what mercy sadness brings, if God be willing. There is a train headed straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watch and wait for redemption day.
Fire rages in the streets and swallows everything it meets. It's just an image often seen on television. Come leaders, come ye men of great, let us hear you pontificate. Your many virtues laid to waste, and we aren't listening. There is a train that's heading straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watch and wait for redemption day.
What do you have for us today? Throw us a bone but save the blade. Oh, why you waited till so late?
Was there no oil to excavate? No riches in trade for the fate of every person who died in hate? Throw us a bone, ye men of greed. There is a train that's heading straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watching wait for redemption day. It's buried in the countryside.
It's hidden in the shells of night.
It's everywhere a baby cries. Freedom.
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 One name which doesn't appear on Sheryl Crow's threads, although he could well have fitted in, is Iggy Pop. While the coming together of these two might raise a few eyebrows, the venerable godfather of punk is no stranger to adventurous partnerships. On this program over the years, I've played him singing The Little Drummer Boy with Michel Legrand, and of all things, Silent Night with William Shatner. And who could forget his and Debbie Harry's riotous trip to Kolportaland for the 1990 Red Hot and Blue project?
I have heard among this clan you are called the forgotten man.
Is that what they're saying? Or did you ever?
What a swell party this is.
And have you heard the story of a boy, a girl, unrequited love?
Sounds like pure soap opera, I may cry.
What a swell party this is. What thrill.
The wild, chaos-dispensing Iggy of such albums as Funhouse and Raw Power is long gone, and his later albums have shown him very responsive to a variety of musicians working alongside him. But then, even back in 1969, right at the beginning, there was that extraordinary 10-minute incantation titled We Will Fall, set against John Cale's viola and lacy freeform guitar.
Tonight. I hold myself tight.
3 years ago, in his 2016 album Post-Pop Depression, the trio behind the sound of the sessions was Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, Dean Fertitta of The Dead Weather, and Matt Halder of Arctic Monkeys. These three men constructed an impressively primal backdrop for the song American Valhalla, but don't expect too much Wagnerian gravitas when Valhalla is saucily rhymed with holler.
I have no plans, I have no debts, but mine is not the carefree set. I'm looking for American Valhalla. So if it passes by, give me a holler, please. I shot my gun, I've used my knife. This hasn't been an easy life. I'm hoping for American Valhalla, but if I have outlived my use, please drink my juice.
So hard to figure it out.
Innocence. It's so hard to figure it out. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It's so hard to figure it out. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
There are more new forces at work in Iggy Pop's latest album titled Free, with an opening track that's essentially an instrumental, apart from a few brief spoken words credited to the pen of Lou Reed. The two responsible for setting this up are producer and trumpeter Leron Thomas and the ingenious guitarist Sarah Lipstate, working under the name of Novella.
Free.
It's Novella who provides the guitarscape behind Iggy Pop when he reads the Dylan Thomas poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, a significant choice with its famous injunction to rage against the dying of the light, here coming out of the mouth of this 72-year-old perennial stirrer. But even firebrands get tired. The album itself is the product of the singer's utter exhaustion after strenuous touring, and feeling the desire to put on shades, turn his back and walk away. It was freedom that was the only state worth pursuing, as he put it, not happiness or love necessarily, but the feeling of being free. Yet for all the sombre tones that the album deals out, there's sparks of light and some laconic humour when he gender twists a well-known Ian Fleming hero with Faith Verne as a lollipop-wielding 007.
She wants to be your James Bond. She wants to be your James Bond. Well, it's not for a price and it's not to be nice. She wants to be your James Bond. She wants to be your James Bond. She wants to be your James Bond. She might stand in your way, but still she'll save the day. She wants to be your James Bond.
Old fire still simmers in a track like Dirty Sanchez, where expletives fly with his trademark fury and prevent my airing the complete song on this program. But these problems don't crop up at all during the extraordinary minute-long prelude with which Laron Thomas prefaces a song. Is also responsible for mood enhancing the album's most resonant track, in which Iggy Pop reads a Lou Reed poem, originally recited by its author at New York's St. Mark's Church in 1971, and due to be published soon. Here it has the best preview possible, speaking poignantly and potently on the state of America and the world today.
We are the people without land. We are the people without tradition. We are the people who do not know how to die peacefully and at ease. We are the thoughts of sorrows, endings of tomorrows. We are the wisps of rulers and the jokers of kings. We We are the people without right. We are the people who have known only lies and desperation. We are the people without a country, a voice, or a mirror. We are the crystal gaze returned through the density and immensity of a berserk nation. We are the victims of the untold manifesto of the lack of depth, of full and heavy emptiness. We are the people without sorrow, who have moved beyond national pride and indifference to a parody of instinct. We are the people who are desperate beyond emotion because it defies thought. We are the people who conceive our destruction and carry it out lawfully. We are the insects of someone else's thought, a casualty of daytime, nighttime, space, and God, without race, nationality, or religion. We are the people, the people, the people.